Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it is your calls, your real ghost stories, as we go back to our roots and take your phone calls and hear your ghost stories in your own voices. The phone number 855-853-4802.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, an 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for listening to the program. Maybe you're just finding us for the first time here in the month of October, the scariest month of the year. Well, it normally is, except January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August actually beat October this year. And I'm probably going to put money on November and December are going to beat October too. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. And if you like the show, want to keep us on the air, please support us. I know times are tough for everybody right now, but this is a listener supported show. So if you like the show, $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material. That's what we like to give you in exchange for your support. You get access to 300 some bonus episodes. You get advanced episodes of the show with no ads in them. You also get our ebook, our audiobook, both Amazon bestsellers. Those are like $15 a pop if you were to buy them on Amazon or Audible. I'll give those to you for free. And so $5 a month, or you can go out and get an annual membership and you get 1 month free along with everything else I just talked about at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It is October as this is airing. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on the program today. I always have to kind of address, you know, hey, it's October, because a lot of new folks find us when they're looking for ghost stories in October. And this might be the first...
September.
Well, when we're recording it, it is, but it's airing in October.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But, and you know, a lot of folks, they find us, you know, looking for something scary. I don't know how that's going to work out this year.
No, every week, Tony and I, we spend about 30 minutes talking about everything in the world going on before we start this. And it's like every week, talking about ghosts seems like a very lighthearted thing to do.
Yeah.
Talking about this serious stuff going on in the world.
So I'm glad you came here for dark and disturbing stories, to escape the dark and disturbing stories of the world.
Right?
We do appreciate that. We should just start rolling tape on our first part of the evening conversation and make that into a podcast of its own. But
just like us catching up every week for 30 minutes.
It could be like the after show or something. I don't know. But here we are. I bought a cool tin... not tin. I don't know. It's copper, tin, something. I don't know. Which, like, life size that some welder made. I picked it up the other day. We did a little antique store shopping in our town because there's like nobody at the stores and they require masks and they will kick you out if you don't have one. God bless them. And I'm so proud of them for doing that. I witnessed it happen. And I got to say to somebody, he's like, they're like, we need a mask to be in here. And they were like, I don't wear masks. I don't wear no masks. And she goes, well, you can't shop here then. Well, I'll take my business elsewhere. And I said, good. Thank you. Goodbye. And he just kind of looked at me and then I kept shopping. They had some great Halloween stuff in there. And I got that and it came with like three cats, like three tin cats. I already have real living cats. And I'm going to put that in the front yard and put some creepy spotlights behind it for my Halloween decorations. I mowed tonight my graveyard area. I actually have a little like moat, if you will, or that's like maybe it's a valley. It's more of a valley that's kind of by a creek and by the road. And then there's some little grass and old trees that are falling down. I'm going to put a graveyard up there. And I have most of my stuff from last year that didn't get blown away in a tornado that I'm going to be putting up.
Oh, that's right. You had that tornado last year.
Yeah. We've been
Day after you put everything up or something like that.
It was literally the day after we put everything up, a tornado, an F2 tornado went over our house and blew my entire graveyard away. The only thing that survived were the skeletons that were zip tied to the porch rail. They made it. But I did get replacement stones shortly thereafter. It's hard to believe that was almost a year ago, but it's been a shit show ever since. But there you go. Let's go to our real ghost stories here today. And today we're going to do all calls. And I say going back to our roots because that's really kind of how the show began. If you're just joining us for the first time, this show has been on the air for about 8 years now. And originally, it just started by me posting audio from radio and ghost stories that I had gotten on FM radio on YouTube. And I just saw people saying, oh, my God, we love these ghost stories. Do more. So I thought, let's make a podcast. And it turned into this monster. And we do it every single week, all year long. So if you like ghost stories, press subscribe. This is the place for you every single week. Bunches and bunches of episodes of nonstop ghost stories. 855-853-4802, our phone number to call and share yours with us. Let's go to our first one. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony. Good evening. My name is Valentina. I'm sure you hear this a lot, but your podcast has given me a lot of relief and answers on what's going on in my life. I've always felt the other side has followed me everywhere I go since I was a child. My great-grandfather was a Native Indian who practiced black magic and was a part of some cult that was very heavily involved, and he transformed himself into animals. My mother and many people in the village that they grew up in witnessed this, as well as my aunts and uncles. And I'm very sensitive to the other side. I feel like a lot of this has come from some sort of curse that came from my great-grandfather practicing what he did. This morning, I was dreaming very vividly of having lunch with my sister when I was woken up, like always, at 3:09 a.m. But a dark figure was floating above my head and my four-year-old's head, who sleeps with me. Again, he's autistic. I don't know if I just mentioned that, but my son is autistic. And I feel like he is sensitive himself to these kind of things. He's a very smart kid. Now, going back to what happened this morning, when I woke up from this dream that I was having of my sister and I, and I realized that there was something above me, I felt my body go completely numb. I started to hear an owl outside my window. There are never any owls where I live. I've been here since 99. And in my culture, it said that an owl could be associated with witches. And the first thing that came to my mind when I realized that there was something above me was that it was a woman. And I started rebuking it in Christ's name. And I'm sitting there praying when I started to feel her energy and her weight shift off mine and start going towards my son. I have a king size bed, so he sleeps on like the opposite side. And the moment I realized that I felt like she was going towards my son, I started praying for my son. I immediately felt it grip my throat and I couldn't speak, or even think, for a few seconds. And when I finally managed to start rebuking it again, I see it float towards the ceiling and it vanished. I sat up on my bed, scared. I haven't been scared in a while. I'm so used to these things happening since I was a kid, but this really freaked me out. When I sat up, my son was staring at me, eyes wide open, puzzled and confused. And I asked him, I said, "Are you okay?" And he was hesitant. He was like, I'm okay. And I hugged him and I started rubbing his back and the side of his arms. And I'm like, "It's okay. Mommy's here. You're okay." And I turned him around and I started playing with his hair until he fell back asleep. I stayed up till about 5 something this morning praying during that time. I was just so scared. I'm currently working from home and sometimes I get, I get the chance to grab my son some snacks or some juices in between the day as I'm working. I work in the kitchen. He'll sit in the living room, either watching TV or on his tablet. And so he's usually really, really good. He's well behaved. And a few days ago, actually, working from home, and I'm sitting there reading an email with my hand, one hand on my lap, and the other hand I was resting my chin on my knuckles, and then my elbow was resting on the table. Nowhere near the mouse, wasn't touching the keypad. And as I'm reading the email, I also had my notepad application up. The numbers 666 started to appear on my notepad. And things like this happen. I could be watching TV in the living room in the evenings. My son will be in the room by then. And the TV will start to change channel to 666. Not touching the remote. The remote's next to me on the couch facing up. And the channel just changes to 666. My pastor's friend from Mexico had traveled up here to Illinois once when I was new to the church. It was my second time at service. Mind you, I had not even met my pastor the first time I went to service. So by the end of the second service, he had walked up to my sister and I, who was also new to the congregation. And he was the one that revealed to her and I that our great-grandfather had something to do with practicing black magic. So when we come home and ask my mom, as she didn't assist church with us at all, her immediate response was, "You girls need to let the dead rest and don't summon him." The pastor also had revealed to me that God had shown him that I had the gift of revelations, which explained why I knew what happened before things would happen, even growing up. I remember telling my sister about those things, and her and I just, we didn't click. Like, I was the odd one, and things like that would happen, and she would say that I was a witch, and she didn't play with me. We just didn't have a good relationship growing up. There are things that I would like to share with you if you ever have time to chat. Things like this. I did send you a video on your Facebook inbox to the Tony Bruschi with the video that I have recorded of a female disembodied voice. My son was 6 months old at the time. I was living at my parents' other house. I slept in the basement. They slept upstairs. It's a three-level home. And my son would always wake up at 4 a.m. for his bottle. And so we would be up for a little bit. And I happened to record. I started recording him. And as I was saying good morning, his face is completely blank. Like, he was laughing and giggling moments before that, but he just went blank. And as I'm saying good morning, you can hear the voice respond to me, "You too." And I thought I had heard something, so as I was replaying the video back moments after recording it, I heard the voice clearly in the video, and I grabbed my baby, ran upstairs to wake up my parents, show them the recording, and slept with in between my parents, my son and I, for weeks after that had happened. I've had things manifest themselves before me, things that you would think only exist in the Insidious movie, and no, things like this have scared the living hell out of me. My son has had things manifest themselves before him. And so I would like to hear from you, get your feedback, talk to you, pick your brains. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to go, you know, onto one of your podcast videos, but I would love to talk to you and see what you think, and just, you know, update you and get you familiar with other things that have happened.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story. And yes, I would love to hear more of your story. So do feel free to continue to call in and update us. I want to hear your thoughts, Carol, but I just want to share one thing real quick, because I think the 666 thing might actually just be the ghost wanting to go to the one of those rerun channels, because all they really want to do is just watch a little bit of it. Pains. That's all it is. You know when the, you know when the. That's all. It's so 666 not so big. It's simply the ghost wants a little bit of growing pains. I'm kidding. I had to lighten the mood for a moment. But what are your thoughts?
That okay. That whole, maybe it's just me. It may be deja vu or something. But it seems super familiar to me.
It did. I think she might have written in before. We get a lot of that
story before.
Yeah,
because the 666 and TV thing really jumped out at me.
Yeah,
because it seems like somebody had told us about that a while back.
Yeah.
But that said, if there was something that was messing with my child, especially when it, like, you would go into this mama bear protective mode, But my God, when you don't know exactly what you're protecting your child from and you can't see it.
Yeah.
And it's talking on a video, like that would, it would terrify me and piss me off at the same time. Cause it's like, mess with me, don't mess with my kid.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't even have kids. I have nieces and nephews. And I would go on mama bear mode if it was sure. them.
Well, it's you know, it's one thing, you know, when you're, you know, trying to protect your kids or something, when you're trying to identify the source, what's going on, what, and you're going to go after that. But if you can't even identify what it is or have any way to get to it, that's what would make it so maddening as to what she's going through.
You know, so I don't know, because it doesn't sound like in her case, moving to a new house is going to change anything. It sounds like it's always been part of her life and going back generations. Mm-hmm. And it's, but I don't know. There just, it just seems to me, you know, it's not like you can sit it down and have a good talk.
Yeah.
But I don't know where you would start, but it's like, it's not okay. You can't do that. You can't pick on a kid.
It's almost like you have to reverse something that's going on there. You know, if this is, if it truly does go back with the ancestor that was practicing some black magic or whatever it was that she had said, I don't recall exactly if she said black magic or something, but whatever that was, you know, if there was some sort of, you know, hex, curse, whatever you want to call it, put on, or something was brought into the mix of the family that has been kind of an attachment that's been moving from generation to generation. I have no advice on how to reverse such a thing. I know a lot of folks, you know, listen and go, how do I fix this? I have no idea. Just like I couldn't tell you how to fix, you know, the engine in my lawnmower either. You know, it's there. I'll agree with you. It's there, but I don't know what you're supposed to do to fix that sort of thing, because again, there's so many different takes on this, and really, it's something that would probably have to be left more into the world of whatever your belief system is, and some of the clergy there, whatever that would be called in that system, and some sort of positive power to reverse this.
So maybe she's Catholic.
Yeah.
Said something about a priest.
The problem with that is there's so many, I mean, there's a lot of variations on Catholicism. Some are more open to exorcism, some are not. But you know, that would be probably the road I would go down. Whatever, you know, religion you are, try and talk to somebody that will listen to you, will believe you, and will try and work with you. Someone who has experience in it, though. I mean, I wouldn't be talking to somebody who's just like, hey, I just got into this and I want to be an exorcist now, too. Don't go to that guy. There's a lot of people out there. If you do a little research, don't go to anybody that's charging money. But look for somebody who you could genuinely talk to and that could give you some clear direction on that. If you listen to the other program that we have, The Grave Talks, I do talk to several people on there that are in that world. Some people who are in a version of the Catholic Church, not the Roman Catholic Church, but that do practice exorcisms and such. And I'm not the matchmaker. I don't do that. But the names are out there. And you are free to contact those people. And I would suggest maybe attempting to do that because I think that maybe somebody like that could be of help to you. But again, it's hard to know when things like this.
Don't you think, too, if you, you know, because like she has a lot of different experiences in one story. But I think sometimes, too, you kind of leave yourself open to some things, which I always am like, I don't want it in. I don't, you know, and I know that you can't just say that, therefore they'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you look at what you're doing in your life sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, certainly the more positive things in your life, the simple way is like, you know, add more positivity, but it's true. I mean, if there's more negative things in your life, the more likely that you're going to have these things flare up more. It's negativity breeds negativity, whether it's from other people or the energies of the world, you know, or the universe, whatever you want to call it, you know, so does positivity. So I think sometimes with this, it's like you almost, you know, almost kind of the fake it until you make it type thing comes into play at a certain point of, even if it's really difficult, if you are able to start getting yourself into a world, into a mode of uber positivity, almost, you know, to an annoying point, you know, the negative things don't like that. And they do tend to kind of push themselves off a little bit if the environment is like that. You know, it would be if I went to like a clown party and everybody's happy and they're all wearing clown outfits.
That could be terrifying.
I would be getting the hell out of there. You know, it's like, I would be the demon in that case because everybody's all happy and they're dressed in clown outfits. And there I am. It's like, get me out of here. So that,
people are terrifying.
That's kind of what you need to do. Make it a clown party. Don't actually do the clown outfits or anything, though, but have the attitude of them, of happy. Not the clowns that kill people and, you know, eat their face in their sleep. Just, you know, the ones that made balloon animals for you at Hardee's when you were a kid. Those ones, you know, so.
I think you have to do whatever you can to protect your child. Yeah. And I don't know what that is. I don't even have children, but just that pisses me off.
If anyone has any thoughts on this, feel free to comment on Facebook under the thread of today's episode. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to our next story. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, so you guys might not remember me. I called back in about 2013, early 2014. And before I get into that, I have a quick question. And please don't tell me I'm the only one who realized this or I missed something catching up on my episodes. But what the hell happened to Cisco? Like, one day she's there all the time, and the next she's gone. I don't know if I missed something or what. But anyways, you guys probably don't remember me calling because you couldn't hear me. When I called, you guys said that it sounded like I was at work or there was metal clomping around. That's how it's been for me my entire life. As long as I can remember being on phones, it didn't used to be as bad, but the older I got, the worse it got. At one point, I couldn't even use any electronics. Everything would break. The screens would just stop working on everything. Batteries would drain. I couldn't use remotes, TVs, especially cell phones. But anyways, let me hurry up and get to my story before I have to go back into work. But I'm so excited that I just get to call in now. But anyways, my story started when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I was downstairs in my grandma's basement. And I happened to find a trunk in the back corner that was super, super antique. It was passed down for generations and generations. Eventually, I will get it, which I don't want it, but I will end up getting it. But I was downstairs playing, and I got into this trunk that had old antique toys in it as well. And my grandma said that she could hear me stop playing, and she couldn't hear me anymore. And so she started to walk down the stairs, and she said that she could hear me talking to somebody. And she heard me kept saying names and then finally asked me who I was talking to. And I had told her that I was talking to a girl named Ashley, a girl named Kirsten, and a boy. Now, there's a little mix up with the names because she will tell me at one point I said Bob and at one point I said Thomas. And so this is all from her memory. I don't really remember much of this. I remember tiny bits and pieces. But she asked me what they were talking to me about, and I told her the girls were talking to me about my toys. You know, they were a little bit older dressed from what I can remember, but not too old. And then Bob or Thomas, I told her that he was telling me to do mean things and hurt people and to get rid of Ashley and Kirsten, and I didn't really want to do that from what my grandma said because I started to get upset about it. And then I guess I just kept playing with my toys and completely ignored her, and she went upstairs. She had told me this story a couple of times growing up, but, I mean, we really started to talk about it when I started telling her more of what's been going on. But, yeah, that's my first story. I will call in, and this has literally been happening from the time I was 5 up until last year, 2019, when I turned 26. So, again, I will call in later, and thank you guys so much for doing this. This is so helpful during this crap of a quarantine. Thank you.
Wow. We have not heard from her in probably 5 years at least. it was before you were on the show, Carol, but you've heard me reference her on a call or something, or even when we were at a live event, maybe, where people have said, what's one of the strangest calls you ever got? And her call to the show was one of them. It was around the time of Richard in Chattanooga calling in, and she had called in, and it sounded like she was constantly putting dishes away while she was talking on the phone. And I was honestly quite rude at the end of the call. Like, it was like an example in how not to do a phone call, because it was like, if you're going to call, please don't do other things because it makes it hard to hear. Turns out she wasn't doing anything at all, but she was having all these problems with her phone. And these sounds were not natural phone sounds. They were, it sounded like you were doing something in the room. And she did another follow-up, and then it got kind of weird. And I don't remember all the details exactly, but a friend of hers had called in to try to give us an update. And I believe she had fallen, I don't know if it was into a depression or some sort of very dark state. But I'm glad to hear that she's back. She sounds positive. She sounds like she's in good spirits. And I'm very happy that she's been able to share a story with us. And I'm happy that weird electronic stuff has finally calmed down for her.
Yeah, because what would cause that? Because she had a whole list of things.
Yeah.
Remote, you know, like anything electronic.
And we know what electronic interference sounds like. We've done this, you know, for 30 some years of our lives. So, and it was not that. It was, I mean, it sounded like someone was sitting over here. It, what it really sounded like was you're putting plates away. It had that very specific, like, China sound of, you know, you're putting China on China. And it was that, or porcelain on porcelain, whatever you're using. And it was very specific. It was like a crazy coffee shop in the background. And I was just floored when I was told that there was nothing going on. It was one of the weirdest calls we ever had. It totally just filled with this EVP noises, and I felt like a real asshole for being so rude to her with my reaction on that first call. But my goodness, yeah, it's just rare that we get these updates like this, because I'm still waiting to hear back from Richard, but I'm glad to hear from her.
And she mentioned somebody else at the beginning of that phone call too. I can't remember the name.
Oh, Cisco. Cisco is still around. Yeah, Cisco actually, Cisco was a very frequent caller to our show at the beginning of the show. So she's probably playing catch up. But no, Cisco, Cisco's still around. Actually, I just did an interview with Cisco on the Grave Talks a couple months ago. And it's either just aired or is about to air or something, but that's over on our other show, The Grave Talks. But no, she's doing well. So yeah, she's still there. She doesn't call in that frequently anymore. She listens a lot. But no, we still talk and communicate and everything. And she's doing well from the last time I talked to her, which was about a month or two ago. So,
and you know, working in radio for as long as I did, you get to where you talk to people frequently, and it's kind of like you with the show.
Yeah.
So just know, if you contact Tony in the show quite a bit, and then you disappear, like, you kind of want to hear from him again.
Yeah.
Like, just email or something. Say, hey, I'm just still out here. Just want you to know.
It's not a burden. We love to hear from you. We love to get updates. And especially when you have stories and you're midway through them, we want to know you're okay. Because, you know, when we're off the air, we still think about these things. So, yeah.
That girl can talk again without all of the interference.
Yeah, which was great. I was like, I was ready to turn the music down, because I was like, are we going to get stuff today? You know, no. Me and Harp actually had what we think might have been an EVP on the episode that we did about a week or two ago. It's a Saturday episode of the show, if somebody wants to try and find it. But it was pretty weird, the way a call broke up. It almost sounded like some other voice kind of came through for a second, and then it changed back. So I don't know what the hell it was, but I'm like,
it used to happen a zillion years ago when people had landlines.
Yeah.
That would kind of happen, but you don't ever hear that.
It happens on Skype to me a lot, but.
Or you would hear like my grandmother listening in on your phone call.
Sure.
Because I remember she had a party line.
Yep.
And then, like, as kids were little, we'd run through the house and she'd be going, pointed the phone because she's listening in on other people's conversations.
The thing is, kids today will have no idea what that is. I mean, that it was beyond my time too, but I still knew about it because I was at the cusp of it not being that. So people would still refer to those things. So I learned what it was. But I mean, you talk to someone today, like, what do you mean you all shared a phone line? What do you mean other people could listen to? Yeah.
And my grandma lived in rural Nebraska. So like they probably had party lines, you know, when the rest of the world didn't.
Yeah.
Because in rural America, you're the last to get the upgrades.
You're a millennial and you want to have your mind blown. Look up what a party line was. You mean people survive?
My grandmother sitting there listening in on you, what you think is a private conversation.
That would be great. You know, if I would totally be that person. I'm without a doubt, I would be picking up that phone, and there was no mute button either. So you just had to shut the fuck up and listen, and not breathe heavily either or react. But yeah, I would totally do that. I would totally be that person if I could.
Because when you see like a old Andy Griffith show and he just picks up the phone and there's an operator waiting and he just tells her who to contact for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I mean, you can still press zero and talk to an operator if you want to, but you don't need to do that anymore. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a great grandma was an operator, and sometimes you'll see the old switchboards like in antique stores and things. And I've always thought it'd be cool to get one. No clue where the hell I would put it because those are big things. But those are things that I'm kind of drawn to. Let's go to one more caller before we wrap up for today's episode. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I am from a Native American reservation. Me and my sister were out with other sisters and we were going home. It's about like 4 o'clock in the morning and we were going down the road and she has to make her stop, you know, to urinate. Anyway, there's this guy on a horse. And granted, it's like in the morning and winter. But what I see is a horse's face. And she gets in the car and she says, "Did you see that?" I was like, "Yes, I did. Who is out on a horse? As early as it is." And we go back home and my grandma's waiting for us. And she said, "Somebody is watching you. Somebody is looking at you. And there is at 4 o'clock in the morning who is out riding a horse in the middle of winter." And yeah, we got in trouble, but still, she said, "I'm glad you girls made it home." And she blessed us, and it just shook me. Asked my sister, "Remember, do you?" She goes, "Of course I remember. I was driving." That was so odd. At 4 o'clock in the morning, there's a man that's on a horse and says, "Are you girls okay?" So that's my story. Thank you.
Well, I think the question is more so, who doesn't go ride their horse at 4 o'clock in the morning in the middle of winter? I mean, come on. It is the thing to do now.
And you and I do this on Skype, and I could not really understand any of that.
Okay.
I heard someone on a horse.
Yeah. The gist of it, her and her sister were out late at night, 4 a.m. They had to pull over because the sister had to use the bathroom on the side of the road. Man on a horse comes by. It's middle of winter. Stops and says, "Are you girls okay?" or something to that nature. And then rides away. And it was just completely bizarre. The grandmother realizes that, or the grandmother says, "Someone's watching you when they get back home." Almost, I don't know if it's assuming that she knew that the horseman was there, or I was almost kind of starting to wonder, did grandma have something to do with the horseman showing up and kind of keeping a watchful eye on her grandchildren through the spirit world?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it could happen. A guy could be out on his horse in a
yeah
winter in the middle of the night. But the odds of that happening,
not great.
Over to randomly go to the bathroom and some guy comes up on a horse. Like, that's kind of strange.
Yeah. I mean, there are possible logical explanations. I mean, if you're out in a rural area, there could have been problems out in the field somewhere, maybe a fence line. I don't know. So there might have been something that the local farmer was out on his horse checking on in the middle of the night because he knew something was wrong. And then he saw two girls pulled over on the side of the road near his land and just wanted to double check. But it sounds more mysterious than that. I don't know. I don't want to say ominous, but it's just more, I don't know, almost more guardianish than anything else. But definitely a creepy story. One that I understand, you know, you'd look back on and you would talk about that and go, that's my ghost story. Just the setting. It's one of those where I think you almost have to be there to really get the sense and the feel.
God, can you imagine how creepy that would be?
Yeah. I mean, it's
especially if you're the one taking a pee out there and then hopefully she was done.
I couldn't go. There's no way in hell. I mean, I can't go basically when I'm in a public restroom and there's other people in the room. I prefer to go into the stall and shut the door. I can't do like the pig trough urinal thing where there's, you know, five guys standing around. Hey, how about them? How about them Chiefs? Aren't they pretty good season, huh? And I'm just like, I just want to go to the bathroom.
I just think that's please unnatural. Leave.
Women, it is.
I think everyone should have their privacy. Like, I couldn't imagine just a whole bunch of toilets lined up. And then as women, we just have to go with all the other women staring at us like, are you done yet? Are you done yet?
It's not a social occasion. It's just, no. And then sometimes you get the space invaders is what I call them, where they... They'll put their arm up against the wall and really kind of lean into it. And then their arm kind of reaches over to your side of the, cause sometimes there'll be like a little divider up, but it'll still kind of reach over. And it's like, gee, do we need this much support against the wall to make this event occur? And I think when you're that close, I think you're probably brushing up some parts on some pieces of porcelain. You probably don't want to be touching with those parts, but.
And, you know, Tony, maybe you were getting hit on. I don't know.
I never thought of that. Somebody might have been looking for some fast love.
A sign that you don't know about.
I never thought of it that way.
Universal sign for I'm hitting on you.
Is it? Is that a sign? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a man.
I don't know. And I don't know. I mean, of course, I immediately go to George Michael's incident in the restroom looking for fast love. But that's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it is. I know there's like certain like things. I remember reading or hearing some of his interviews about like signs, but I don't think that's happening necessarily at the restroom at home, the department store. But, you know, maybe.
You said
no.
I'm like, yeah. This happens at your house?
No, yeah. We have random people coming to the urinals in our house. But it happened at the at-home department store, the home decor store. So I don't know. It's a home decor store.
At home and this man hit on me.
Okay. Maybe I'm not that far off base here. Maybe I'm the one that's off base for thinking this is an odd thing to have happen. But
no, I do think it's odd.
At the Pure One. I don't know. You know. I don't know. All stores of which I enjoy, and I'm really kind of sad that Pier 1's closing. But anyhow, that's for another podcast. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your ghost story with us, you can also, of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our show, become an extra podcast person, and EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.